Rush Hour with Luke Brendam.
The Goldies, 92.5 Triple M. Welcome to the jungle.
Heyo, everybody. Thank you for joining us on the podcast. Luke Bradnam with you. Big show, mate. Big show today. Deb Frecklington, she could be the next Premier of Queensland. In 90 days from now, Deb Frecklington could be the next Premier. And she joins us on the show. Also, we take your calls on what you would do, mate. If you were in charge of Queensland, if you were the Premier, what would you do? I ran into a superstar this morning on the streets of the Gold Coast. Had a chat to him. You can hear who that is. Saw some shenanigans going on in a high-rise in Surfers Paradise today. Take your calls on what you've seen. Dobbo joins us to discuss what's happening in the NRL in the wake of that controversy of the big crowd turning up on the Sunny Coast over the weekend. Mayor Tom Tate's got an idea for how the schoolies should celebrate Schoolies Week this year. We'll have some fun with that. Nick Kyrgios is back in the news. We'll talk about that. And the great Tanner Boyd joins us from the Gold Coast Titans. You can hear that and a whole heap more if you listen to this. It's the catch-up, and it's starting for you right now.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
What a way to start the week. This could be the next Premier of Queensland. Deb Frecklington, the state opposition leader, is joining us right now. G'day, Deb. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, great to be on the show, Luke, and hello to all your listeners. Beautiful day on the coast.
And where are you at the moment?
Well, I've actually just got back into Brizzy from the scenic rim.
You know, Deb, one thing I didn't know about you is it true you live in Kingaroy? Is that your hometown?
That is my hometown of Kingaroy, so I represent the beautiful areas of the South Burnett and the Somerset. But I spend a lot of my time travelling around the state.
As a Polly, hailing out of Kingaroy, like our most famous Premier, Sir Joe, comes from Kingaroy. And I've got to tell you, as a kid, I grew up in Hervey Bay, Deb, and one time I went to Kingaroy. This is no joke, 1984, I reckon. 1984.
Would have been about three.
Mate, I was a young kid, but I knew enough. I knew Joe Bjelke-Petersen, and we're going through Kingaroy, and we went, Joe Bjelke-Petersen, this is just our family. We go, Joe Bjelke-Petersen lives in Kingaroy. Let's find his farm. Was it Bethany was the name of the joint, right?
Yeah.
We roll up, drive down Sir Joe's. They invited us in, mate. Sir Joe Bjelke-Petersen.
Are you kidding?
Deb, Sir Joe took my brother Ashley and I on a walk through his peanut farm, and we're going because Flo was his wife, and we're going, we're cheeky little kids. We're going, you got any pumpkin scones, Flo? I haven't got any, boys. I don't. But what a nice bloke. Did you have much to do with him when he was in Kingaroy?
No, look, I didn't. But Lady Flo actually was wonderful to me when I first put my hand up to be a politician for the local area. By then, Sir Joe had passed away, but Lady Flo was just fantastic to me. And look, they are legends locally around Kingaroy.
No, of course,
we've got the Lady Flo Bjelke-Petersen Hospital. We've got the Sir Joe Bjelke-Petersen Research Station. But look, it is a beautiful part of the world, and wouldn't it be fantastic to be the second Premier hailing from the same spot?
Here's what I think your problem is, Deb, and this is no joke, is that everyone was up in arms when Anastasia Palaszczuk closed the borders. They went, this is ridiculous, open them up, you're going to kill business and all this sort of stuff. She's kind of been proven correct in that regard, you'd have to say, because we've now got, so fewer cases than, what's happening down south. Do you look back now and go, you've got to cut us some slack? Or is that not the case in the political game?
Well, look, I think you've got to look at it, Luke, exactly how it happened. I mean, when the Premier was refusing to open the borders, and, you know, you've got to note that she actually has opened the borders, but when she was refusing to open the borders, the Victorian health case hadn't happened, and all we were doing was saying, you know, keep to your own timeline, which was July, but she went on Brekkie TV, I think it was, and announced that they might be shut until after September. Now, back when she was saying this, it was causing businesses a great deal of uncertainty. They wanted the borders open because there was no health reason why the borders should be shut. Now that's changed. And with Victoria now, even Victoria wouldn't have imagined what would be ahead of them. So, the Premier still has the borders open. And I think many of your listeners would be, you know, probably wondering whether the borders should have a hard close again.
Okay, so what would you do, Deb, if you were in Parliament, if you were in power right now? It's 91 days from now. Let's say you are the next Premier of Queensland. Let's give you that power as of right now. What would you do different to what Anastasia Palaszczuk is handling this situation, like this week, for example?
Well, what I would do is I would follow the health advice. So if the health advice is that the borders should remain as they are, which is open, and that we just stop people from the hot spots, then that is exactly what I would do. And that's exactly what we should be following. But the other thing I would do is I'd make it easier for locals with maybe a locals pass to get over. We've got to look at making sure that everyone is doing the right thing. But how can we streamline the process for people that have no choice but to commute over the border? And I do think it is also really important that we give businesses certainty and clarity around the changes to the borders. I mean, the people on the Gold Coast are the ones that are feeling the most pain with this.
Absolutely.
They are living with it day in, day out. And those businesses, as you know, Luke, I've been down there, I've been talking to the local businesses, they are on their knees because it changes on a daily basis.
Yeah, that's a big one for you. In this marketplace, that's a big one for you. If you could get rid of the queues, or at least make it just a little bit easier, because at the moment...
Make it easier for locals. Why can't locals have a dedicated, you know, a dedicated pass or something different to people coming from other areas in New South Wales? I think that's the number one thing that we need to implement. But at all times, we need to be following the health advice, not just making it up as we go along for a political advantage.
Hey, Deb, it's 90 days out to the election. Will you be the next Premier?
Well, look, that's up to the people of Queensland. But what I would say, Luke,
what's your gut feel? What's your instinct tell you?
Well, Luke, I'm working extremely hard to...
Yeah, but come on, you know what your instinct is. This sounds like political BS coming out. Whatever the next answer is, just it's a yes or no question. It's like, does your instinct tell you we're going to vote for you?
I can tell you right now that I know that I've got the people and the policies to get Queensland working again. I've got a great group of people that want to represent Queensland that are, you know, members of the LNP. So, look, I think that, of course, we're always the underdogs at this stage, 90 days out, but we're going to work hard each and every day. But good try, Luke.
Will you buy a peanut farm if you're... No, it doesn't matter. Hey, hey, good on you, Deb. Appreciate your time. Know it's very busy for you. And thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Just had Deb Frecklington, the state opposition leader, on the phone. I noticed that Linda from Terranora has called through. Our number's 13 27 10, if ever you want to call through anytime, anything. Hey, Linda, what's on your mind?
I was just saying that I think Anastasia has done a really good job, and I don't think her opposition would have done any better.
Right.
She's kept the state safe. She's kept the border safe. I don't live in Queensland. I live in New South, but I'm still a border resident. And I think she's done a damn good job.
Yeah,
I hope she gets re-elected, because she's done really good up north, like, for the whole of the state she has. And I know businesses suffered, but Queensland weren't the only state that suffered. Trust me.
Hey, good on you, Linda. You know what we might do? Because I put that question to Deb Frecklington. I said, hey, Deb, what would you do? Let's make you Premier of Queensland right now. What would you do? And the big thing that Deb said she'd do is change what's happening down at our borders where Linda lives. She lives at Terranora, and you're having to deal with those delays all day, every day. We should chuck that over to you guys. Let's chuck it over to the Gold Coast. What would you do if you were in charge? We've got some cool stuff to give away this afternoon. Like, everyone's got theories. You can see what's happening down in Victoria at the moment. It's just crazy. 470 new cases today. We have got through pretty scot-free here at the moment in Queensland, compared to what's happening around the world, and then compare what's happening in different states around our country. But we've got some cool stuff to give away. If you've got a theory, look, I'm going to make you're in charge right now. Has anybody got a clear idea of what we could be doing differently to handle things here in Queensland? Because it does seem to be going all right. And that's what I tried to say to Deb. I said, that's your problem at the moment, is things are going pretty good here in Queensland. Like, it's not Victoria. It's not where all the big dramas are happening. We're seeing an influx in Sydney now as well. But here in Queensland, it seems to be a bubble. Yeah, we get the odd one, like those morons last week, those two 19-year-olds that came back and lied and all that sort of stuff. But for the most part, we seem to have dodged a bullet, either through good management or just through sheer good luck. We don't know.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
I've been on the rush all day today, since about 5 o'clock in the morning. I haven't stopped. Had swimming today at the Southport Pool, and then straight after that I had gym. And I'm on my way to the gym, which is at Mermaid Beach, and I'm cruising down Bermuda Street, and I'm talking to my old mate Cherie, Spider's wife Cherie. I'm on the phone to Cherie, and I see this dude on the side of the road who's walking with a footy underneath his arm. He looks like he's a young guy, maybe 20 or something like this. And he's got a pair of Gold Coast Suns footy shorts on, but you could just tell by looking at the footy shorts that they're not the sort of shorts you could buy. You could tell they were official, so I knew he was a Gold Coast Sun, and he's got a footy under his arm, and his arm's in a sling. And I kind of knew something about one of their superstars, one of their young superstars who had dislocated his shoulder. And I couldn't have been on the phone to a better person, because I'm on the phone to, you know, AFL Hall of Famer's wife, Spider Everett's wife. And I say to Cherie, I go, what's the red-headed guy, the young red-headed bloke's name that plays for the Gold Coast Suns? She goes, Matty Rowell, he's a superstar. And I went, you know what, bugger this. I pulled the car over and I said to this bloke walking down the road, I go, are you Matty Rowell? Who's like this AFL absolute gun. He's the young, what do they call him? The Rising Star, is it?
Yeah, Rising Star. Rising
Star. And had a chat to him. He's a really good bloke. Have a listen. This is this morning on Bermuda Street with Matty Rowell.
We're just travelling along Bermuda Street, and young Matty Rowell with a footy under his arm and his arm in a sling. What are you doing, mate?
Walking to the club, actually. Uh-huh. So that's a bit of my fitness while I can't do running, so walks to the club, it's about 11 or 12 Ks, so.
Mate, and how old are you?
19.
19, so you're a 19-year-old young gun, and I know you got some points you got the Rising Star Award 1 week before you did your shoulder, but you look like a kid that's off to, under 12s or something, because you got the footy tucked under your arm. You just live and breathe it, mate.
Yeah, no, I love my footy, and, I just love it, and it's important just to keep loving the game, and I'll always do that. So, yeah, I'm just a footy nut.
How frustrating is it then when you got the arm in the sling?
Yeah, no, it was frustrating. Especially first year, and I was enjoying my footy, and I was I was getting amongst the team, and I was playing all right footy, and but that's footy. These things happen, so just got to start rehabbing it, keep a positive attitude, and come back stronger.
And just on a different topic, I got my little girls down in Victoria. She's at this school, and with all what happened yesterday, now we're like really worried about her, obviously, and what it's going to mean for her with all the closures. Yeah. Your family's down in Victoria?
Yeah. So they're in lockdown as well, and it's pretty hard for all those people in Melbourne at the moment. So they've just got to keep a positive attitude, and things will come good, I guess, in the future. But I'm thinking of everybody down in Melbourne at the moment. It's pretty hard, but they've just got to hang in there, yeah.
And you're giving a lot of hope to Gold Coast Suns supporters, mate. It's great to see you walking the streets of the Gold Coast, footy tucked under the arm. Keep doing what you're doing. Hopefully see you back on the paddock soon.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks very much.
And there he goes. Good bloke, Matty Rowell. First time I've met him.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Been a long time since I've been in Surfers Paradise at around 11 o'clock at night, but that's where I was on Saturday night. The reason why was because one of my old schoolmates, Chutz, he's like my best mate, he had a poker night, and he actually got a unit at the Hilton, and we had probably, I don't know, maybe six or seven blokes who were all, mates from 1,000 years. We're like brothers, and we had a card night. It was just a really good night. But the first observation I had was just how busy it is in Surfers Paradise. It's chock-a-block. And even where we were staying at the Hilton, sometimes it would take you 10 minutes just to be able to get the elevator, because the queues to get up the elevator, the lifts, were that long. There were that many people staying there. And someone had a theory, one of the girls that actually worked there, as she said, no, it's like this every weekend. because they've got cheap deals on the weekend and everyone's got JobKeeper money and they're all coming down from Brisbane and going to the hotels there, and it is jam-packed. Like, sometimes you'd get a lift to go back downstairs. We were on the ninth floor. To get a lift to go down to ground, the lift would stop and it would be too full to be able to get in. Next lift would come. 5 minutes later, it'd be too full to get in. And sometimes it would take you 10 minutes just to be able to get a lift. It's quite incredible just how busy it is at the moment. But anyway, that's not what I wanted to talk about. What I wanted to talk about was I get there late because I had to do the weather for Channel 9. And as soon as I get there, the boys are all out on the balcony and they're just dead set looking into the other unit because the in the Hilton there, the units are pretty close together and they could just see straight into the bathrooms of all of the other units in the complex. They reckon it was the best show in town because I guess when you put the light on in the bathroom, it reflects back so it looks like it's dark from where you are. But from the outside, you can just see straight in. And there were just people, like it was one person after the other, just taking a shower, going to the bathroom. There was naked people walking around left, right and centre.
Stop it.
And it was funny. And it was kind of like, do these people know that everybody can see them? And it wasn't just our unit looking. Big bunch of pervs that my mates are. It was every unit was just like, and I'm sure they were looking, from their point of view, they would have been looking into the units that were on our side of the complex as well. And it was incredible. It was incredible just how unaware and oblivious these people were and how voyeuristic it was, quite frankly. It was, and then you just start looking around to other complexes and the same shenanigans is going on. And I live in a high rise and for the most part, you feel like you've got privacy, but you really don't. You don't know who's looking in. It was quite... like, well, my man, I spoke to a window cleaner once on the show, and he told me some of the things that he had seen going on in high-rises, because he just turns up unannounced. Like, imagine you're in your unit, and then unannounced, a window cleaner abseils down, and he's looking inside your unit. That's what goes on. And he was telling me about some of the stories and some of the things that he's seen. But I thought we might open the phones up. If you got a story for us, either being caught unaware that you were the person putting on a show, or if you saw something going on, because a lot of us live in high rises. I do. I lived in surface for years and years. I was oblivious to what was going on around the place, how people are looking. But it was so evident. It was just smack bang in your face there on Saturday night at the Hilton in Surface Paradise.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Big hits yesterday up on the Sunshine Coast. Queensland's best team, the Melbourne Storm, is based up on the Sunshine Coast now, as you know. And there was a major controversy because the crowd looked unreal on television last night. Like, I watched the game and I was like, mate, this Sunshine Coast Stadium is awesome. It looks like Brookvale Oval with the old hill. But, of course, we've got social distancing, apparently, for all NRL games. And Ben Dobbin, Dobbo, is covering this for Nine News. He's joining us right now. Dobbo, have there been repercussions, mate? It wasn't a good look yesterday.
No, I thought it was brilliant. We just all forgot that bloody we had this pandemic. I mean, I was sitting there going, I'm like you, Luke. I'm going, how good does it look? A packed hill on a Sunday arvo at the footy.
Made me think, Dobbo, geez, the Sunny Coast should get a team. Like, that's a bit of a fortress. It's like the old school Brookvale Oval, like footy back in the day, you know what I mean?
I agree. We all just forgot, though, that there is social distancing rules. that we are in a global pandemic and lives are at risk. Look, the Sunshine Coast have now boo-hoo had to reduce their crowd. They'll play on, the Storm play up there on Saturday. They have to reduce the crowd by 1,000 people and make them spread out a bit. It has been a cold winter by normal standards this year. The sun was shining yesterday. It was 24 degrees. People wanted to sit on the hill in front of the western sun, and rightly so they did. So away they went, and they got to witness a good game of football. We haven't got a single case in Queensland, no new cases over the last 24 hours. I suspect that is the way it's trending. So, I mean, boo-hoo, party poopers. Let them, you know.
But the problem is, Dobbo, the problem is, mate, that if we see that on the, like what we saw yesterday on the TV, where it just looks like there's no social distancing, then anybody that's having to abide by social distancing, be it via their business or be it via, like, you know, their family members, they can't see them, etc. We're having it in old people's homes at the moment. They'll go, well, the NRL aren't doing it. Why should we? It is a bad look.
Yeah, all right. Okay. But I don't think it is. Well, you know what? If I'm there, I'm sitting on the hill and I don't give two craps and I'm not being rude and you can call me irresponsible. But you know what? I've had enough of bloody COVID. I've had enough of it.
So is anything happening, Dobbo? I mean, don't get me wrong. It looked good on TV and it was good to have crowds back at the footy. But just given what's happening in Victoria and other parts of the country, you can imagine them going, what's happening up in Queensland? Do they not care about it? Does the NRL care about it? Is there any?
Oh, they definitely care about it because there's been some questions that had to be asked. Look, good Gold Coasters, you got a good football team. Can I just say that to you now? I know they got beaten again on the weekend, but they are going to be a good football team. Your superstar makes his return for the Brisbane Broncos this weekend, Dave Fifita. He trained today for Brisbane. And what about this little grudge match on Friday night? Uncle Wayne versus son Anthony Seibold. Oh, boy, oh, boy. You can taste the hatred there already. And they're just getting ready to play each other as the coaches. There's no love lost there.
I've thought of a solution, Dobbo. If you want the crowds not to go to the Sunshine Coast Stadium, play the Broncos at Sunshine Coast Stadium and put Melbourne Storm at Lang Park, mate.
They stink, don't they?
They're
they
really awful. Do stink. Absolutely awful.
Dreadful. Dreadful. They're coach killers.
All right, Dobbo. Good on you, mate. Good update. And I'm with you. It looked good, but it wasn't a good look, if you know what I mean. Appreciate the update, my brother. We'll see you tonight on Nine News.
See you, mate.
There he goes. Ben Dobbo Dobbin.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
The great L. Doby has hung around. I thought you'd be a good person to have weigh in on this, mate, given that you have a son who should be doing Schoolies Week this year, right?
Well, year 12, it's their most important year. I mean, you want to remember your final year of school with great memories, with awesome friendships, and maybe they won't have a Schoolies.
Well, it's a rite of passage. It's become a rite of passage, Schoolies Week. Well, Mayor Tom Tate today has come out and revealed what he would like to see happen with Schoolies Week this year. Can you give me a drum roll, please, producer Jeremy? Mayor Tom Tate would like this class of 2020 to do Schoolies Week online. You like that, El?
So that's like they're saying at the moment, the ECA is going to be online this year.
He's suggesting that what the Schoolies should do, you still have Schoolies Week. You can have all the fun of Schoolies Week, but you just do it via Zoom.
Come on, Tom.
What? You don't like that idea? Or you don't think
it'll
work?
That's not going to fly.
But the hip young crowd, mate, you don't think that they'll get together and just Zoom one another?
Okay, I can promise you there'll be one less year 12 as part of that Zoom chat.
You don't think your son would go for that?
No.
Hey, Tom, good news, mate. You can do Schoolies Week in the living room with mum and dad watching over your shoulder. Hey,
you'd if you like, I'm out of here. See ya.
Helicopter parents hanging all over their kids while they're zooming in around the...
I don't know if that's going to go well.
It won't work, mate. It won't work. I mean, I love Tom, don't get me wrong. I love Tom and he's got great ideas. And this may be a great idea. It just won't work. The kids don't want to do Schoolies Week via Zoom. They want to get away from mum and dad and they want to go out and maybe make their first big mistakes of their life. Maybe they meet the love of their life. Maybe meet Miss Right Now. Whatever. But they want to be able to get out there and do that.
I have heard that the government is going to make a call on whether or not the Schoolies' response at Surfers Paradise will go ahead. They'll hopefully do that. They've got to do that soon.
Yeah.
Because if it does go ahead, it is pretty much the safest spot to do Schoolies.
Yeah, sure.
Surfers Paradise. So many people there to take care of you if you need help.
What I love about Schoolies, mate, is the fact that our kids, they come to town and quite frankly, I get radio gold out of our kids. I do. Every year. Yeah. I'm going to play you something, Elle, from last year's Schoolies. I just chuck my notes out. One sec.
What have you got there, mate?
Okay. I just had to grab this out of the garbage bin.
The filing cabinet.
I chucked it away. So I went in and if we don't have Schoolies Week, we're not going to get awesome radio like this. So this is from last year's Schoolies. I went in there and what I did was I held up. Now, they've just done 12 years of school.
Yeah.
You'd think they would have learnt a thing or two. I held up words
that were spelled out correctly, and they had to tell me what the word spelt.
What day of the schoolies week was this, though?
This was mid-schoolies week, okay. But it was about 11 o'clock in the morning. So
they'd had a good crack.
You'd think they would have their wits about them. Now, the first one I held up, I grabbed a couple of kids. These kids were from Brisbane, and I held up the word colonel. Now, the tricky thing about colonel is it's not spelt with an R. It's C-O-L-O-N-E-L.
Yeah, yeah.
Colonel. Now, do you reckon they could spell or pronounce colonel?
Nah.
Let's have a listen.
Colonel.
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 The next one I did, mate, was I held up the word Massachusetts. Now, renowned city for the United States, but it's a mouthful. Do you reckon they would be able to pronounce Massachusetts?
Well, it's spelt in a very different way. Mm. It's very special.
Just a yes or no, no. That will do. No? Let's have a listen.
Massachusetts.
Mm. I'm not giving him that one. Okay.
Chutesits.
Epitome. E-P-I-T-O-M-E. Epitome.
No chance.
Let's have a listen.
Epitome.
Ah, there it is. Epitome.
We've got to have schoolies week, mate. I've got to keep this radio gold going.
Epitome.
AL, can they do hors d'oeuvres?
No.
Horse Dior.
Yes, that's the best. Horse Dior.
There's no chance they get this one. Vociferous.
No, please.
Let's have a listen.
Vicky Forrest.
Oh, Vicky. Hey, she was in my year 12.
Vicky Forrest.
Just for radio's sake, we've got to have schoolies week again.
Yep.
I'm the only jobber on Australian radio getting gold out of these kids, but I've been mining them for years now, so please, Mayor Tom, I can't do that via Skype or Zoom.
For Vicky Forrest's sake.
Vicky Forrest.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
I want to boo someone here, producer Jeremy. Just wait. Because I've got to tell you who I want to boo, because there's a big controversy today with regards to a good friend of our show, Nick Kyrgios. He's been calling into the show quite regularly, which is fantastic for us. And I'm a big supporter of Nick Kyrgios because I like his swagger. I like his rock and roll. I like that he walks to the beat of his own drum and all of that sort of stuff. But I can understand how Nick gets people offside because he is outspoken and he is a little bit like our... We like our sports stars to be a bit more humble than Nick, but I don't know. I dig the guy. But anyway, Nick Kyrgios has come out yesterday and said that he's not going to play in the US Open, which is only, what, a couple of weeks away. And he's had a real dig at some of the superstars from the world of tennis because he reckons that some of these guys, particularly Novak Djokovic, who actually got coronavirus... He called it a cash grab. He said they've been doing these exhibition games throughout Europe, just getting a cash grab right in the middle of a pandemic. And he reckons that the world superstars of tennis need to set an example and say, we're going to boycott the US Open. We're going to put health ahead of money and we're not going to play. And I commend him, mate. I commend him. It's costing him money not to play in the US Open, but this is a bit of what Nick Kyrgios had to say yesterday.
You can't be dancing on tables, money grabbing your way around Europe, or trying to make a quick buck hosting an exhibition. That's just so selfish.
And then what happened last night, I thought he'd get commended for that. I thought the media commentators, particularly in Australia, would go, well, good on him. He's putting health ahead of bank account. That's to be commended, no? But it seems like Nick Kyrgios can't do anything right because this absolute jobber from The Project, which is, I don't know, it's way too highbrow for me to watch The Project. They just seem a little too smug. Like their noses are in the air and they're just a bit smarter than the rest of us. And I can't warm to it for whatever reason, that TV show. And I don't even know this dude's name, but he does not seem like he's a great deal of fun. He's just sort of a suit-wearing nerd is the best way I could describe him. But he's a young guy. He just doesn't seem like fun. But he came out and he had a pot shot at Nick Kyrgios. Have a go at him.
He just finds a way to make what is a really rational comment about the dangers of any tournament going ahead at a time like this, particularly in the States, brat-like in the way that he delivers it.
Just by talking with his mouth? Yeah.
Oh, you nerd. Boo him. Who is he? I don't even know who he is. Boo him.
Peter Van Onselen.
What is his name?
Peter Van Onselen.
Oh, who? What young guy? Yeah, shame on you, mate.
Shame.
Shame on you.
Shame.
Shame on you for having a go at Nick Kyrgios, and shame on you for being a young guy that uses the word brat. That's what your granny uses, mate. I mean, call him. a dick or something. Just, you know, have a little bit of swagger about you, mate. Oh, he's a brat. He's a brat. What a nerd. Fair dinkum.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Our boys, the Gold Coast Titans, gee, they went close to knocking off the premiers at the Sydney Cricket Ground over the weekend. It was such a close game. I thought they were going to get there. Tanner Boyd, our favourite Gold Coast Titan, runaway Bay Seagull, done good, joining us right now. G'day, Tanner. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good, mate. How are you?
How was it, mate, playing at the Sydney Cricket Ground?
Yeah, pretty special. That's the first time I've played there, so a lot of history there, so it was pretty special.
What time did you get back to the coast? I know you're doing a hit-and-run mission down to Sydney and back.
8:20 we got back, so we were sitting at Sydney Airport for a while, so
really?
A bit later than expected. Yeah.
Hey, mate, and someone was telling me, who was it? It was my nephew, actually. I didn't realise this. You're a Northcliffe nipper as well, or you've come through Northcliffe Surf Lifesaving Club. What's your association with Northcliffe?
So I was just there. I started from, I can't remember how old it was, but I finished when I was like 14. So I did it at a pretty young age, and I had a pretty good crew there, actually. Mitch Grooms, I don't know if you know him, so he's going well now there, and he did the Mitch Grooms series this year, so he's killing it.
Unreal.
He's a pretty tough crew, actually.
Yeah, my nephew was in the age division below you guys, and he said that you had a really good age group, and a few guys have gone on to bigger and better things in the world of surf lifesaving. Would have that even been an option for you, or was it just always footy for you?
No, I kind of did it as a kind of fun thing, but I still competed in everything, but footy kind of took over, and that's why I kind of stopped, to be honest. I was just, it was getting a bit too full on with the training and that. So, and then, just went to footy.
Hey, I went down to Runaway Bay, mate, on the weekend. My other nephew was playing in under nines. And God, it's good, mate. Like, I haven't been back down the bay for a little while. That's my old club as well. But junior footy, it's such a great thing for kids. And you know what I enjoyed, Tanner, is so many young girls are getting involved in rugby league now too, which surprised me.
Yeah, it's just getting bigger and better, the girls' footy. And, the more we can get the girls involved, the better, I think. So, it's awesome to see.
And so, mate, this weekend at home, you got the Cowboys, and got to be, fair to say, like the three Queensland sides, we've never seen this before, but all three down the bottom of the table. But a lot of people are saying, mate, and I want your answer on this, the best Queensland side at the moment. Is it our boys? Is it you guys, the Titans?
Well, I feel like we are. We are getting better and better each week, and I thought we were pretty good on the weekend, just missed some opportunities. So if we can keep playing like that, and I'm sure we're going to just move up the ladder. So
there we go. Well, good luck, mate. Have a good week's training. We'll chat to you on Friday.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.